Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 1 through 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 13. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Such was the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, as he with a bare word cast out demons. By the very touch of his finger, cured the incurable disease of the flesh, leprosy. A woman touching the hem of his garment, after 12 years having hemorrhaged inside and having put her money down and paid doctor after doctor after doctor, and was nothing improved but only became worse. When she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, she is immediately healed on the inside. Well, this gets the attention of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the religious elite of the Jewish nation, the holy ones, the zealous ones, and they feel threatened. Jesus is shaking their power base, and they turn against Jesus. But there is one of them who is not turned against Jesus, but he is drawn towards him. Perhaps he is speaking for a few others. We don't know this for sure, but he comes to Jesus by night and he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And yet he is coming to him by night. Clearly, he feels uncomfortable, at the very least, coming to Jesus openly by day. But he knows. He knows that there is something different about Jesus. No man can do these miracles that you do unless God be with him. And so Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, comes quietly, secretly to Jesus by night and seeks to have a visit with him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the rabbi who has come from heaven, he surprises Nicodemus. He begins to answer him in a way that he does not expect. Instead of taking the compliment that Nicodemus pays, that he must be indeed a teacher come from God, he says rather to Nicodemus something very unsettling and disturbing. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus doesn't understand this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. How can a man be born when he is old? How can he possibly have a new birth? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Oh no, Nicodemus, you do not understand. You must be born again, spiritually. You must experience a new spiritual birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Let us reflect upon this great doctrine of the new birth as it is set forth before us in this dialogue between Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, and Jesus, the great teacher come from God, under 2 points, both of which are the same in their wording, but as you shall see, are somewhat different in their sense. You must get this. And the second point, in the same words, although as we shall see, with somewhat different meaning, you must get this. You must get this. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus knew something. And apparently he thought that knowledge was at least at some level satisfactory because he's expecting Jesus to say something that would register what Nicodemus has just indicated. But apparently he doesn't understand. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus, you know something, and yet you must get something much greater. You must understand something much more than that I am a teacher come from God because of the miracles which I am able to perform. You must understand something that is so vital, so important, that without it you cannot be saved. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you understand this. Now, friends, above all, you need to know how to get to be saved. You can have all different kinds of knowledge, knowledge that is useful, knowledge that is helpful in your life. You can have knowledge how to perform a certain job, and by that knowledge, you will be complimented by your employer, and you will receive a paycheck, and you will continue to be employed by that employer because of that knowledge that is necessary to that employment. But you need a greater knowledge in order to enter the kingdom of God. You need to know something in order to be saved. Dear friend, do you understand that you need to be saved? Did Nicodemus understand this? It's unclear. In fact, it's clear that he doesn't understand the most basic things that a great teacher in Israel should have understood. How can these things be? Says Nicodemus. He doesn't understand. Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? This is basic Hebrew doctrine 101. If you are schooled in the Old Testament, you should understand these things, and it is only by these things that you can be saved, only by these things that you can come into the kingdom of God. You must understand what I am saying, says Jesus, if you are going to be saved. You must understand that in order to get to God, in order to become a part of the kingdom of God, in order to be saved, in other words, you must understand that you need to be born again. Now, do you understand that? Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You must get this. You must understand this. If you do not understand what Jesus is talking about, you should be very, very worried. Because if you die right now and you are not born again, you will not go to heaven. You will open your eyes as the rich man did in hell. You will be cast into hell because you did not understand that you must be born again. You must get this. This is knowledge that is not secondary in nature. Now, in our afternoon services, as we began a series on some of the distinctives of the Presbyterian Reformed Church, we looked the last time at psalm singing. This afternoon we'll be considering the role of instruments in worship, that we do not agree that these things are to be done. These things we believe are biblical, but they are secondary in nature. One does not have to be a Christian, or rather, to put it this way, one does not have to be a psalm singer in order to be a Christian. There are many, many good Christians who do not agree as we believe in some of these distinctive positions of the church. That does not mean that they're unimportant. It's just that they do not rise to the level of an absolute necessity. But Jesus is saying here, this is knowledge that you must absolutely get if you are going to be saved, if you are not going to go to hell, if you are going to enter the kingdom of God. You must get the new birth. You must understand what it means. Obviously, that it does not mean entering a second time into your mother's womb and being born physically. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must understand that human nature, that is the heart of man, is incompatible with the kingdom of God unless something happens to change it. The human heart cannot grasp the heavenly realities about which Jesus speaks. How can these things be? It doesn't make sense. Jesus is speaking, but Nicodemus is not understanding. And I ask you this, dear friends, Jesus is speaking. Are you understanding? Do you understand that until you are reborn, you won't understand? Do you understand that? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness, Nicodemus. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and the world did not comprehend it. The truth of the new birth is like a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't fit the mind of man. It doesn't make sense. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Do you understand that, friends? All the great philosophers, the Stoics, the Epicureans, the Aristotelians, the Platonists, the modern day existentialists, whoever they are, they're so wise. They have so much book learning. They have so many letters after their last name. But the world, by wisdom, knew not God. The Bible tells us, dear friends, that the human mind in sin cannot grasp the heavenly realities about which Jesus speaks. And that is why the soul of the unbeliever cannot go to heaven, because he has only been born in sin. This is the great doctrine, dear friends, of original sin. Why must a man be born again? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The things of the Spirit of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, they are only spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. The carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the unconverted thinking of a man cannot understand these things. It cannot understand Jesus. They are of the earth, and they can only understand earthly things. And how can they believe if Jesus comes and tells of heavenly things? He, the heavenly man, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. The reason why you, my friend, if you are unsaved, cannot understand Jesus is because Jesus is from above and you are from beneath. You are of this world, a world that lies in wickedness. He is from above. He is from God, whom by nature you reject. You must get this. If you are going to be saved, boys, girls, young people, friends, you who may be watching or listening from the convenience of your home, you must understand this if you are going to be saved. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must understand that a man must receive a new nature spiritually if he is to understand and if he is to enter the kingdom of God. A man must receive a new nature spiritually. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The natural understanding is fleshly. Because there is no fear of God, there is no true wisdom. The Apostle Paul describes mankind in the flesh, unconverted, Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're blind. Oh yes, they can see physically. They can see into the depths of space now with their instrumentation, with the Hubble telescope that goes into the very remotest parts of the cosmos, and it takes those images and it filters them, and then it relays them back to planet Earth and all the great minds they examine. And they look at this information and they understand more and more and more about the great universe that God has made. And yet, they are blind. You talk to them and they say, there is no God. That Russian cosmonaut who went up into outer space, and he signals back, he has searched far and wide, and yet he has not found God, he says. He was blind. Blind. He cannot see the very obvious reality that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, it's not just the literal atheist that needs a new birth. It is the practical atheist, the one who says that he believes in God, but when you look at his life, he lives as though there is no God. Such need a new mind if they are to see the kingdom of God, if they are to enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not that I said unto thee, said Jesus, ye must be born again. You must have your minds enlightened to understand these things. Acts 26:18, the Apostle Paul was sent to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Do you understand this? Do you understand that your mind will never, ever, 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 ever understand what you need to understand to be saved until you're born again? That you need a new mind. That you need the hidden wisdom. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, says the Apostle Paul, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It must be revealed. Do you remember, boys and girls, when Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave their responses. Some say that you are one of the great prophets, if not the great prophet, John the Baptist, Elijah perhaps. Ah, but says Jesus, whom do you say that I am? And Peter looks at Jesus and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. How does Jesus respond to him? Does he say, oh, Peter, you are so perceptive. You have such natural penetrating insight. You and you alone can understand things with others do not understand. No, he says, none of those things does he, friends. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father has revealed it to you. You will never understand Jesus. You will never understand who he really is. You will never understand his message, and so you will never understand how to be right with God, how to have a new heart, how to walk in holiness. You will never understand how to go to heaven. You will never understand how to escape hell unless you are born again. Do you get that? Do you get that you must have the mind of Christ given to you? That your blinders must be removed for you to see who Jesus really is? You must understand that a man must receive a new nature spiritually. A new nature, not only to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God and its King, King Jesus, but a new nature to enter into and to participate in the kingdom, to even want to get into the kingdom. Now, can a rich man enter into the kingdom of God? Well, if you are listening to the Bible reading, you will know the answer. It is possible with God, but not possible for the rich man by nature. In fact, it's like a camel trying to squeeze through the eye of a needle. Now, does a camel naturally want to go through the eye of a needle? Of course not. It doesn't even try. It's useless and it's undesirable. Well, you see, when once an individual who is unconverted is presented with Jesus and the true reality of who he is and the true reality of the kingdom of God, he's not going to even want to enter into the kingdom of God. He's going to run away from it. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He must have his heart of stone taken away. He must be given a heart of flesh. His will must be renewed. These words, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, perhaps hearken to the prophecy of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do you understand that this is what you need? That you need a new mind, a new will, a new desire. Perhaps there are some of you who are here not because you really want to be, but because you have to be. Or because there's something other than Jesus that is compelling you to be in this place. Well, you need a new heart. Why is it that the things of God are so very distant to you? Why is it that prayer is so very lifeless, that it is a chore. Why is it? Why is it that sin seems to have such the draw with you that it holds you enslaved, my friends? It is because you are not born again. Why is it that you are so addicted to the material things of this life? Why is it that you are so enslaved to lusts, that you so hold on to these things, your lies, your deception, your idolatry, and you will not enter the kingdom of God? It is because you have not been born again. You must understand that a man must receive a new nature spiritually if he is to enter the kingdom of God. You must get this. This is not optional information. You must understand that a man must receive all of this wholly from heaven, wholly from the Spirit of God, the Lord and giver of life. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received, say the Christians, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. You need the Spirit of God, my friend. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. You must be born again. You cannot do it. Your mother cannot do it. Only God can do it, friend. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can get inside your stubborn heart, can enlighten your darkened mind. Only the Spirit of God can make you grasp what must be grasped, to embrace Jesus, to see Him as the answer of God, that He is altogether lovely. Only the Spirit of God can make you desire to take up the cross and to count the cross as a lovely thing. Only the Spirit can make the wisdom of this world to you foolishness, and the foolishness of God to be infinite wisdom. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Therefore you must understand that you cannot be saved in any other way. It's not by being born into the church, born into a religious family. That is not the way by which you shall enter into the kingdom of God. It is not by being baptized necessarily. Baptism itself, apart from the grace of Christ, does not save. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he must be born, as the word may be translated, from above. It's not of this world. Oh, dear friends, the Christian is not of this world. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Do you get that the Christian is like Jesus, as free as the wind, and therefore is beyond the power of man to harness? The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. No, it is not like that. It is not by being born into the church. It is not by being baptized. It is not by education. There's no amount of book learning that can give you this access to this knowledge by which you must be saved. It is not by becoming better. Archibald Alexander was 20 years old. He had been raised up in the Presbyterian Church in Virginia. And he testifies that by age 20, he had never heard of this teaching. Now, maybe that's an indictment on the preachers and the teachers of the Presbyterian Church at that time. Or maybe he just wasn't actually listening, but whatever the case was, he had not understood it. He thought that Christianity was simply about being a better person. Well, that's not what Christianity is. And that's not how to get saved. That's not how to get to heaven. That's not how to enter into the kingdom of God by simply being a better person. No, you must be born again. If these words are ringing in your ears as you leave this place, then I will praise God, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will bless them. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And it is not by your free will. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but it is of God that showeth mercy. Oh, but God commands us to repent and believe, and therefore we can. Luther says, even grammarians and schoolboys know that nothing more is signified by verbs in the imperative mood than what ought to be done, not what can be done. You must be converted. You must repent. You must believe. But that doesn't mean you can repent, or that you can believe, or that you can be converted apart from the grace of God. If you blind yourself, you should see, but you cannot. Well, that is what mankind has done to himself. He has blinded himself by sin. He should see, but he cannot. He should want to come to Christ, but he cannot. In fact, he will not come. We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. You will not listen. You will not accept. You will not take up my cross. You will not get rid of that darling sin because your will is enslaved. The answer, dear friends, is not in you. The answer is in God and in God's free grace. Augustine testified, I once labored hard for the free will of man until the grace of God at length overcame me. That's how it was with C.S. Lewis. I didn't want to come. I was dragged, kicking and screaming, but then all of a sudden, I was no longer kicking and screaming. I was coming. I was running into the arms of the Savior because he made me a willing believer in the day of his power. And that, dear friends, is the testimony of every true Christian. Such a believer can say, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Is that you, my friend? Have you been set free by Jesus Christ because you have received the birth from above? Then bless God for it. Bless God for it. You must get this. But second and last and more briefly, you must get this. Get this not in the sense of understanding it, although you must understand it. You must actually experience it. You must get the new birth. It must happen to you. Just as your first birth, did you do anything? In your first birth, you did nothing. You were altogether passive. And so it is with your second birth. If you are born again, until you are reborn, you are, as the confession says, utterly indisposed, disabled and made opposite to all good and wholly inclined to all evil. But then the Spirit comes. Then the stony heart that had been holding out for all those years, finally that stony heart softens. You must experience this, my friend. You must have this experience. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. But Pastor, if you tell me that I can do nothing in myself to understand these things, or nothing to actually enter into the kingdom of God because I am so blind, I am so hard, I am so sinful, then all is hopeless. Or so it seems, Pastor. Well, I respond, if you are truly feeling hopeless, and you're not just being cynical, if you are truly feeling hopeless concerning yourself, that is a good thing. Because it's only in the depths of being at the very end of yourself that God does His sovereign work. Maybe you've been trying for all these years to pray better, to read better, to go to church better, to live better, to stop those darling sins that you love. You've been trying and trying and trying, and maybe today you've come to the very end of yourself and you realize, I just can't do it. Or you've been trying to believe in Jesus, trying to accept Him, trying to come to Him, and you are just at your wit's end. If you are feeling hopeless concerning yourself, you're in a good place. Second, I say there is hope where there is God. With man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus said, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who is speaking this? It is God the Son. Even so now, in your lifelessness, in your death, in your helplessness, hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Even now, be born again. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hear the words of God as he comes by that little infant cast out in its blood. And he said unto that infant when it was in its blood, live. Yea, I say unto thee, live. Even so now, God is saying to you, sinner, live. Live again. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Let us rise. O God in heaven, we receive thy testimony that we must be born again. Grant that we might receive this in our minds and receive it in our hearts, whether for the first time or once again by renewal. And we ask, Lord, that thou would receive all glory and praise and honor. And even now, Lord, be working in the hearts of those who are blind and stubborn and disobedient. We pray it in the worthy name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing now from Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 8 through 13, to the tune St. Mary, tune number 111. Psalm 51, verses 8 through 13, to the tune St. Mary, tune number 111. Of gladness and of joyfulness, make me to hear the voice, that so these very bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All mine iniquities blot out, thy face hide from my sin. Create a clean heart, Lord, renew a right spirit me within. Verses 8 to 13, to the praise of God. Please rise and receive the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Amen. Please be seated for the announcements. We'll be having our lunch.